With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. It's my final hour and 45 minutes here on this Wednesday on TEL.
Okay.
No, not ever. This is Donnie Wrightside's third and final hour here on the early line before we send him to the money line when all is said and done. DRS, still a ton to get into here in this third and final hour. Keith Stewart will join us up next to look at the RBC Canadian Open this week north of the border. Rory McIlroy expected to be in the field and this national championship before our national championship, the United States Open, next week in Oakmont outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Speaking of the United States and Canada, game number one of the Stanley Cup Final starts tonight. Joe Maddon will be here later on in hour number three to break down the opening game of the set in Edmonton between the Oilers and the Panthers. And, of course, how this series plays out in the Cup Final rematch from just a year ago. And then from the brilliant diamond mind of Donnie Wrightside, we break down the entirety of this Wednesday full slate around Major League Baseball. All of that and plenty more, DRS, here in this third and final hour.
It's championship season. Championships get awarded here in June. And also, like, let's just say we get a quick NBA Finals. It's five games here. You're looking at one of the more exciting NBA offseason that you're going to find with the draft coming up with Cooper Flagg. Who's going 2 and 3? Where's Kevin Durant going to wind up at this point? Is LeBron James retiring? Is Karl-Anthony Towns out of New York City? So a lot of fun stuff ahead here, even if the NBA doesn't play any games past, let's just say, five more. But the Stanley Cup playoffs ending now with the Stanley Cup Finals in a series that everybody should be able to watch and engage with. And I do think we get an extended series there. So good topics to talk about. Major League Baseball in warmer weather. That's always a good topic to talk about.
And we saw some runs on a Tuesday around the bigs. We hope that continues on this Wednesday, unless you are the Pittsburgh Pirates and Paul Skeens is on the bump. All right, DRS, as we get ready for the NBA Finals, of course, tomorrow, the opening day, the opening game of the championship series in the association. So for one final time, on the eve of the NBA Finals, we get a public assessment on how they are approaching the Thunder and the Pacers just about to square off. We hear from all of you in Fade the Public. DRS, there is no doubt with Oklahoma City a minus 750 outright series favorite. And the most likely outcome, according to who wins the set and in how many games, the Thunder in five being the shortest number, the odds makers and the general assessment is that Oklahoma City will eventually win the Larry O'Brien Trophy and eventually might not be all that deep into the duration of the NBA Finals. But we wanted to hear from the people. How can we assess how competitive this series is truly going to be? So which NBA Finals outcome is more likely? The Pacers ultimately win and are crowned an NBA champion, or the Thunder make even quicker work than a gentleman's sweep and just pull off the straight sweep in only four games? That was the question for all of you at SportsGrid on Twitter. In DRS, it does feel as though the public expects this to be rather swift in the NBA Finals. More than 62% of the vote in those two options, the Pacers win outright or the Thunder win in a sweep, most of the public, 62% of the public, saying more than likely, in comparing those two, it's OKC and only four.
Yeah, it was heavier this morning, more towards the Thunder with a sweep, around that 70-72%. So coming back to a little bit here with around 62% on that live look over a couple hundred votes that are noted. But understand this, it's a heavy favorite in the series for the Thunder. So if you're just trying to say, how can I lose? Well, I don't think the Thunder lose this series. Well, then how are you going to back the Pacers win, which 38% of the public are doing right now? So if the Thunder do win and they're heavily favored, there's a really good chance that they can sweep. Now, also, does the sweep include the gentlemen? Sweep is the question most people are asking right now, because technically that is still a sweep term in five games. So you might be able to get the bonus four and bonus five games out of this. But for me, I want the Pacers to win, because that probably means we're going six or seven games and they win. If the Thunder sweep 4-0, which are the better basketball team, we didn't get much fun out of that final at this point right now. So I did vote Thunder sweep, even though I'm actually rooting heavily against that, because I want at least five or six games to talk about.
I also voted Thunder sweep, although I am hoping Indiana can at least force a sixth game. DRS, would you be overwhelmingly surprised if the Pacers won the NBA championship outright? On a scale of 1 to 10, what would your stun level be?
I mean, a 7, which, again, it should be a 9 based on the odds that we're getting, as it looks like it's supposed to be one of the bigger blowouts in the last, 20 years of the NBA Finals. Yeah. But not the way I've seen the Pacers play basketball. Like, is anybody like, oh, my God, the Pacers won game one? Nobody saw that coming. Well, theoretically, the odds makers didn't, but that's a good basketball team, and they've won big games on the road already in the playoffs. So it's not as if it's, you know, a college football game with a 35.5-point spread. Like, how the heck did, like, Oklahoma get beat by Army or something like that back in the day? It's not like that, but I would be surprised, but not as surprised as some people might think I might be.
Yeah, I would agree with that, DRS. I would say a 6 or 7 on the shock scale if Indiana wins outright. Ultimately, I'm expecting Oklahoma City to be crowned an NBA champion and to hoist that Larry O'Brien trophy for the first time in 17 years in Oklahoma City, and the first time in the overall history of this Thunder Supersonics franchise since the late 70s, 1979 to be exact. Now, the Pacers won three ABA titles in the mid and early 70s in 3 of 4 years, but as an NBA squad officially, they've only played in one NBA Finals 25 years ago in 2000, coached by Larry Bird with Reggie Miller as their star. They have not won an NBA championship. An NBA championship. They do have some ABA trophies on their hardware shelf. Ultimately, DRS, I do think it is the Thunder. And the way that I have approached this, with a Pacers ticket at a plus 900 price as Indiana wrapped up their second round set in only five games against the East top seed in the Cleveland Cavaliers, expecting Indiana to at least be highly competitive for a cash out spot in the Eastern Conference Finals or win the whole damn thing, as of course the Pacers did win that Eastern Conference crown, I have bet both Oklahoma City to win in five games at plus 210, and Oklahoma City to win in six games, which not only is what I am hoping for from a competitive and exciting series on the basketball hardwood, but also a larger payout into my FanDuel account.
And also understand the optics of the NBA, which used to be a 2-3-2 series, which I never liked at that point, back to a 2-2-1-1-1, which means that if the Indiana Pacers probably going to win the series, they would clinch it on their home court in six games, which makes the most sense. And then again, winning in five games would be a home court OKC in seven games, the same way as the thought prospect here. But we'll know the competitive, because they always say, like, hey, the series doesn't start until the road team wins on the home court of the other opposing. And I understand that. But let me tell you something. Like, nobody's anticipating, okay, Oklahoma City by double digits game one, OKC by double digits game two. Ooh, kitchen sink game, which we will call it for Indiana. But the series would feel like it's over if you don't get at least one of those first two games being the heavy underdog. It just feels like that.
No doubt, DRS. If the Pacers stay competitive, that's great. Heck, Indiana was competitive last year in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics, basically in all four games, but there were only four games. Boston still pulled off the sweep. So we are hoping Indiana not just covers numbers as a hefty underdog, and they are going to be the dog even in Indianapolis in every single game we can anticipate outside of a devastating injury for the Thunder throughout this series. We are hoping for some outright wins. The number now 9.5 in favor of OKC for game number one tomorrow. MLB breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There is so much to discuss in the world of golf here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, and we are very pleased to have our guy Keith Stewart live right here on TEL to get you set with everything you need to know. A final reaction on what Scottie Scheffler did last week, going back-to-back as the champion at the Memorial Tournament at Jack's Place. His third win since the start of May, including a major championship at the PGA Championship. Our third major of the year, Keith, next week at the United States Open at Oakmont, and a national championship just north of the border at the RBC Canadian Open this week as well. So, Keith, for all of that, we say thank you in advance.
Well, Ben, good morning. Donnie, good morning. And the last I checked, Scottie Scheffler, he's still good at golf. The best way I could summarize it for you guys, and then we can move on to Canada, is that over his last five starts, we know he's won 3 of 4, but over his last five starts, he's gaining an average of 14 strokes on the field playing golf. It's unbelievable.
Keith, one more question about Scottie Scheffler and what he did last week in Dublin, Ohio. Three wins in his last four events, including his first ever PGA Championship, adding the Wanamaker Trophy to those two green jackets. We have had this conversation a few times around Scottie's play in the last 2 or 3 years. Is this the best run we have seen since Prime Tiger? So allow me to ask a similar question here on Scottie Scheffler. Is this the best run we have seen of Scottie Scheffler's career so far?
Ben, it is statistically and chalking up the victories for certain. He is playing the best golf of his career over this span. You know, you look at the last, what, eight starts, second at Houston, fourth at the Masters, eighth at the Heritage. You go on, you know, CJ Cup, he wins by eight. He wins by five at the PGA. The Charles Schwab, you know, the week after the PGA, only fourth place. And then he wins the Memorial by, like, you know, another couple of strokes. The one thing I'm looking for to get to that next level, to start to head into that Tiger echelon, is that I don't want to see the fourth at the Charles Schwab. I don't want to see, you know, the second at Houston. I want to see him rattle four or five wins off in a row, and he's certainly going to have a chance next week at Oakmont.
Certainly impressive there. The U.S. Open next weekend, but this weekend, the RBC Canadian Open from Toronto here, just north of Toronto. If we look at this golf course and how it plays out here, Keith, explain us the advantages, the disadvantages. What do we have this week?
Well, we're heading to a new venue for the second time in 3 years. Much like our National Open moves from Oakmont, last year we were at Pinehurst, the Canadian Open moves around as well. We have a par 70 golf course, 7,389 yards, which might be a nice preview for next week at Oakmont, which is another 70, which is even shorter at 73-72. But as I break down this golf course, the keys for me are, you know, a par 70 at 7,400 yards is a lot of length. And these par fours, there's five of them over 480. So I love the guys with some ball speed. I also love the guys that can putt it really well. We're going to a new venue. 156 rookies are heading to this place this week. Top 65 in ties make the weekend. So one of the four main stroke gain categories that translates the best when you go to a new venue, that's putting. There's two reasons why. Number one, good putters, they control their speed. I don't care what kind of grass it is. And the second thing is that good putters make putts. The reason why? Because they can read the green. So if everyone's starting with a fresh surface, then the good putters, that's my second key of the week. And the third one is that I think we're going to do some scoring. They've had some wet conditions.
Keith, we're having some audio issues there for just a moment. We'll hope to have Keith Stewart back in just a little bit. So we need those Keith keys, and we need, of course, the early leans on the early line. Keith, you are back. You sounded pretty good, at least to me.
Sounds fantastic.
We're good. Keith, we're good. All right, finish out those final two keys as you were breaking down for TPC Toronto.
All right, well, the second one is that you got to be able to putt. All right. Of the four main strokes gain categories, the one that translates the best to a new venue is putting. Good putters can do two things really well. They can control their speed and they can read greens. That's why they make putts. The third key, of course, is going to be the fact that we need to score this week. I know it sounds crazy at 7,400 yards, par 70, but there was a PGA Tour America's event here a couple years ago. The guy shot 25 under in soft conditions. We have soft conditions this week. It's going to rain overnight into tomorrow. I think that you got to be able to score. You got to be able to bomb it, and you got to be able to convert some putts.
So no Scotty Scheffler in the field this week up near Toronto. Has the week off getting ready for the U.S. Open next week at Oakmont. If he was in the field, we'd see his price probably around even money, plus 100 right now. But Keith, there is a short favorite relative to every other golfer up in the Great White North. Notably absent last week at Jack's Place. That is Rory McIlroy, plus 450. Second best price is Ludvig Åberg at a 14-1 number. So after a week off, a week ago in Dublin, Ohio, what can we expect out of McIlroy this week at the Canadian Open?
I think Rory takes a lot of pride in the RBC Canadian Open. He's almost single-handedly saved this event when he started coming here in the late teens, and he won it in back-to-back editions. And now you look at it, you look at this field and how they've leaned into the PGA Tour U and how they have a bunch of DP World Tour players that come over and play in this national championship. Of course, there's the rising up of a lot of these young Canadian stars like Corey Connors, Taylor Pendrith, Nick Taylor, all of these guys. It's turned into somewhat of an event on the PGA schedule, and it sits in a pretty good place right here in June where a lot of guys are going to play and prep for our National Open. I think that Rory pushes himself this week. I think he sees that, you know what, hey, to start the year, I was pretty good. I won the Players, I won the Masters, the Career Grand Slam, I won the signature event at AT&T. I know Scotty has three wins, but so do I. I think Rory, he may not win this week, but I think that he works really hard towards getting himself ready for Oakmont, and I think he challenges this week for sure.
And so, Keith, as we look at the Canadian Open this week, whether it's the odds short there on the odds board or any other golfers to highlight, it's that time, the early lanes on the early line. Which players do we need to know this week up in the Great White North?
I'm going to start with Sam Burns. He's at plus 3,000. You know what? In the last three Canadian Opens, he has a 10th last year and a 4th a couple years ago. He's coming off four top 20s in his last five starts, and the putter has been absolutely scintillating for Sam. I mean, he is burning it up on the greens. He's gaining an average of 5 strokes on the field over his last five starts. He was 12th at Memorial, a tough test. The second guy, Erik van Rooyen, he's at plus 10,000, 100-1, all right? He qualified for the U.S. Open on Monday in Columbus, Ohio, shooting 64-67. He loves long bombers golf courses where you got to score. EVR at 100-1.
Keith, we'll see you next week outside Pittsburgh for the U.S. Open at Oakmont. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A full Wednesday slate around Major League Baseball, the Diamond Breakdowns from the brilliant mind of Donnie Wrightside. Here on this Wednesday on TEL, it is game number 3 of a 4-game midweek set in our second rematch of the National League Championship Series from a year ago. Tonight, late night in Los Angeles at Chavez Ravine. The Catman, Tony Gonsolin, on one side for L.A., Griffin Canning on the other for the New York Mets. Both of the first two games this week, DRS in L.A., have gone to extras, a 10th inning. The Mets winning it on Monday night. The Dodgers responding on a Tuesday. We are tied at a game apiece as we get ready for our third game again of this 4-game midweek set. The Dodgers have been a favorite in the opening two. That remains the case here on this Wednesday evening at the Ravine. Total, 9.5. What's the play late night in L.A.?
Might be let's go Mets tonight, because you take a look at Tony Gonsolin on the season here. Look at his numbers, 31 innings pitched here, 5.23 ERA and a 4.46 xFIP number. The xFIP is lower than the ERA. You like to see that. But at the same time, through his last 112 batters, how about an ISO against for Gonsolin of 247 and a weighted on base percentage of 382. Right-handers and left-handers certainly doing some damage. But the questionable thing is he doesn't strike out left-handed batters. How about his K rate on the season towards righties? 39%. How about the left? These 11%. So left-handed batters putting the baseball in play, which you start with Francisco Lindor at the top of the lineup there. 77 at-bats over his past 30 days against right-handed pitching, crushing it with a 269 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 362. Brandon Nimmo right behind him, a 255 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 391. You also get down that lineup with Brett Beatty, a 340 ISO and a 398 weighted on-base percentage. The lefty should be able to do damage, but also the last 48 right-handed batters out of state, Wisconsin, also have been doing damage. Flip it over to the Dodgers. Look, Griffin Canning is a decent pitcher on the season overall. You take a look at his numbers, 53 innings pitched. How about a 3.23 ERA, slightly higher xFIP of 3.83. He handles right-handed batters here, but struggling a bit over the last 30 days against lefties. Those lefties in the lineup tonight you should pay attention to, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Max Muncy there. But overall, if I think I'm getting the better pitcher and a lineup that matches up really well, why not take the Mets here to plus 122 price here to win that series against the Los Angeles Dodgers?
A 4-game set, DRS. So one more game on a Thursday. But to your point, of course, it is very sound. The Mets have taken 3 of 5 so far this year against L.A. You said something at the start of that breakdown when I asked for what's the play late night in L.A. that I wonder if you have ever said. I'm curious if you have ever said before in your life, let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets. Yeah, look, man, here's what it is. You let's go Mets okay. when you put money down on them. Let's fade the Mets when we just want to cheer against them. So you have to be able to. The rule number one in the handicapping business here, know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and know when to fade certain teams here. I don't think the Mets are in a fade spot tonight.
The creed of Donnie Wrightside, LGM, it is tonight. DRS also for the second consecutive day in a four-game midweek set this week in San Francisco. Extra innings, low-scoring game. The Padres just happened to score more in that 10th and final frame to take their opening two games against divisional foe in California, that being the Giants. 3-2 the win yesterday for the Padres over San Francisco. Game number three tonight in SF. And we basically have a pick'em with your guy, Nick Pitching Pivetta, on the bump. Total stands at 7.5. DRS, are you still having that belief in Pitching Pivetta for tonight's California clash?
Yeah, anytime you go up against the San Francisco Giants offense in a true pitcher's ballpark like you get in San Francisco, sure, you'd love to be that pitcher. Ramos, take a look at Flores and Chapman. Good numbers against right-handed pitching over the past month. Everybody else stinks out loud. So Pivetta, who's had a much better start to the season than, let me say, just lately, and he hasn't been all that bad lately, just those numbers match up where I'm just looking at, okay, I get a big ballpark, I get an average pitcher, let's just say, going up against a below-average lineup, I'll lean on the pitcher in that every single time. Go over to the opposite side, Kyle Harrison, the lefty, on the mound for the Giants today. Has had some decent starts here, but again, only 55 total batters that he's faced. You look at the lineup today going up against lefties, Tatis, Machado, Merrill, all positive ISO power numbers. Everybody else stinks. Yesterday's handicap was big ballpark, two questionable lineups, take the under. That went to extra innings and stayed under. Same thing applies today. 7.5, you don't really like to go under that. I don't know if we get 8 runs. I'm going under again tonight.
Elliot Ramos, the two-run shot for the Giants early in regulation. The only runs produced yesterday. Now make it 16 games in a row. The Giants have failed to score more than 4 runs. It's astounding, DRS, that that has been the case for San Francisco. But the Padres hoping to win all 3 games so far this week of the first 3 in a 4-game set. Elsewhere around the bigs on this Wednesday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A crucial series this week in Atlanta for two teams that are sub 500 right now, but two teams entering the 2025 MLB campaign. We certainly expected to be playoff contenders in the National League. It's the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Atlanta Braves. Yesterday in the opener of this midweek set, the D-backs win 8-3. All 8 runs plated by the Snakes scored via the home run. 2 home runs apiece for Ketel Marte and Corbin Carroll. And because of a DRS, the D-backs now only 2 games sub 500. The Atlanta Braves, 27-32, 5 games south of that even 500 mark. But today expected to work their way back closer, at least, to a winning record. Chris Sale on the bump for the Braves, a -174 home money line price. Total stands at 8. Mark Zeno mentioned this game ever so briefly in terms of breaking down the team that he lives in the city of, the Atlanta Braves. He firmly has that fork in Atlanta. He said he would take the Diamondbacks. Thinks the price is slightly off. DRS, do you agree?
I would agree at this point. You take a look, too. 75-degree temperatures in Atlanta. You'd like to see that. Maybe a rain or 2 shower in the forecast. That's okay. Light winds blowing in from right field. Get that out of the way. Chris Sale's on the mound. He's a really good pitcher. Number 3 on the card coming into today with full season statistics of 67 2/3 innings pitched and a 3.06 ERA and an xFIP of 3.11. That's really good. But Merrill Kelly's also on the mound. 69 innings pitched here. How about a 3.78 ERA and a 3.48 xFIP number? Not too far behind. Now, understand this. Chris Sale's been really dominant against right-handed batters this season, which is crazy because he's a left-handed pitcher and he's really good. We get that. 235 batters that he's faced. How about a 122 ISO power number the last 30 days, which only includes 106 batters that he's faced? That's an 062 ISO against righties, and it's a 245 weighted on base percentage. Okay, you're probably going to have a lot of right-handed batters in the lineup today, which is what teams like to do. And you will. Corbin Carroll, Josh Naylor, probably the only left-handed bats in the lineup for the Diamondbacks. But understand this, the Diamondbacks absolutely flat-out smash left-handed pitching. You take a look at the entire lineup. Outside of Josh Naylor's 276 weighted on base percentage, everybody else is a 323 or higher, which includes guys at 434, 432, 399, 390, 359. You get the point here. And all low K rates outside of Corbin Carroll and Tim Tawa in that lineup. So for me, I look at that price point and say, if I'm getting pitchers, now again, pedigree pitchers, Chris Sale is better. Yes, they're the home team. There is a slight nod. But I think that price point is just too high right now, where if you can wait out both of these pitchers, you basically get a coin flip at a nice dog price here. So I'm with Mark. Do I think Atlanta wins? Well, the odds makers probably say they should, and they technically have the better pitcher. But I don't think it's too far of a stretch where that lineup can rise up and get a couple runs across the board and maybe shake Chris Sale. I'm not laying that number with the Atlanta Braves. So, yeah, give me the Diamondbacks at an underdog price with that lineup that hits lefties extremely effectively.
The offensive power of the D-backs, DRS, not in question. It's the pitching staff, of course, the elbow tightness for Corbin Burnes. We await the official diagnosis or his timetable away for Arizona. But if you have the ace of the last few years, Zach Gallen performed the way he did last night on the road in the A, only giving up a single earned run. That's a good sign. A couple of 8-3 final scores yesterday around the bigs. In Atlanta, the D-backs win 8-3. The Cubbies beat the Nationals in D.C. 8-3. And the Philadelphia Phillies play 8, winning 8-3 in Toronto against the Blue Jays. Basically a pick 'em today, DRS. Jose Berríos and the young gun on the other side for the Fightins, Mick Abel. What do you like today in the 6?
Abel was great in his first startup, but also Mick Abel not going against the greatest offensive lineup. You're going against a little bit better offensive lineup, and particularly not in Citizens Bank Park, where the fans are on your side and the home team. You're on the road in Toronto today. Good part about that is the roof's going to be open, 75 degrees in Toronto, which is great. A wind blowing out to right field at 9 miles per hour. It doesn't make all that big of a difference in Toronto because the field is really shielded at that point. But the one thing we did talk about is how good Abel was in that first start. Can he continue it? But my focus is going to be on the Phillies bats, which woke up and they needed that first inning in the worst way yesterday. A two-run shot there early from Trey Turner. Right behind it was Bryce Harper, and an 0-2 count hit a home run in his first at-bat, which coming back off that stint of the past four games that he sat out over 5 days. It's like, all right, back in order. Let's go here. Well, we'll see if they can go. Berríos is a good pitcher. He is a veteran. Not having a great season, though, by any stretch. 70 innings pitched, an ERA of 3.86, which is high, and then you take a look at that xFIP number at 4.13. The one thing over the past 30 days, the struggle has been with Jose Berríos is from the left-hand batters. A 173 ISO against and a 350 weighted on base percentage through 61 batters. Harper and Schwarber, which I had on my RBI list yesterday, hit that right away with Harper, but Schwarber was 0-for-5 yesterday with 3 strikeouts. Maybe that changes today. Better lineup for the Philadelphia Phillies. I will trust them, but not one of those where I really want to dip into and say, all right, it's a close line, just take the Phillies, because having a young pitcher in a first start on the road after having a great start, most people probably will fade that situation. I look for the Phillies to win this game, but again, if I'm just looking for action from a Philly side, I go Harper and Schwarber again, both at plus money for an RBI. One of those takes it down. I think that's a better way to play this one out.
Is this Mick Abel's just second start of the year? What happened between the gem and the shutout against the Pirates in that game, DRS? Oh, he got back down?
Exactly. You're not going to keep him up there, maybe get an extra start in between, but just to save that roster spot here, because the Phillies are trying to go with a 6-man rotation. So it's not like, okay, somebody's injured. He just takes that place. They have more pitchers than they can handle in the starting lineup, and he just has more exposure to the minor league system where you have the ability to send them down, where you probably can't send Taiwan Walker down, right? So that's it.
Yeah. Mick Abel out-dueling Paul Skeens in that debut, striking out 9. That matched a Phillies franchise record for the most strikeouts of a starting pitcher in his MLB debut. Paul Skeens pretty good. That day against the Phillies was pretty good yesterday as well, DRS, and still recorded a loss. The Pirates are now 5-8 when Skeens is on the bump this year. 10 runs scored yesterday by the Kansas City Royals in their rivalry matchup against the St. Louis Cardinals under the arch in the I-70 rivalry series. None attributed to Jack Caglione in his MLB debut. Yeah. How about day number two, game number two for Jackie Cags today on the road against the Redbirds? The Cardinals were a favorite yesterday. They are still a favorite today. Minus 126 on that money line. Total is 8.5. What's your breakdown, DRS?
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. Miles Michaelis, you know, the highest xFIP on the card today, but pitching really well his last 5-6 starts until his last appearance against the Baltimore Orioles. We finally got blown up there. 4 innings pitched, 9 hits, 4 earned runs, only 3 strikeouts. Maybe that continues to help because yesterday was almost like just a fade of the conditions. 81 degrees, warmer temperatures blowing out the left field. They had a lot of scoring yesterday. And Jack Caggs, when I started the show talking about, he should have had his first base hit, got robbed in center field by a really nice play by the center fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals. Maybe gets that base knock today. 73 degree temperature, some rain in the forecast, but a light wind blowing out the center field, so we should have good hitting conditions. You will focus once again typically on the left-handed batters, because why? Right-handed batters for Miles Michaelis have really been shut down. 104 batters faced on the season from the right side, an 0.96 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 248. Here's the issue: not a lot of left-handed batters in the lineup today that are set to go for the Kansas City Royals. That could be a question. You flip it over to the other side and say, okay, Noah Cameron, the left-handed pitcher on the mound for the Kansas City Royals, 98 batters he's faced on the season. How about this? An 0.78 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 203. So for me today, I think Michaelis can bounce back with a decent start, and Cameron's had some solid starts so far this season. Yeah. Maybe it does turn into an under today in St. Louis when it went way over the total yesterday.
Wild. 17 total runs, a wild game. Yeah. Kansas City wins 10-7. But they weren't leading the entirety of the time. The Redbirds had a 7-2 lead after the third inning. KC rallied with 6 runs in the fifth. Yeah. Bobby Witt Jr. had a first inning home run, a 2-run shot, had 4 total RBIs. That 6-run fifth, by the way, for KC included a couple of ribbies out of our guy, Vinny Pasquantino. 13 hits in total for KC. None of them belonging to Jack Caglione in his MLB debut, but maybe this is the buyback spot, DRS. What?
Yeah, rest of that lineup, 8, man. Those first 5 batters in the lineup were scorching. Jack, again, he should have had a double yesterday. He did get robbed, but maybe a base hit's coming today for the kid.
Caglione hit 6th as a DH yesterday for the Royals. Numbers still remain virtually the same. Plus 190 to record a ribby, plus 600 to hit one over the wall. We preview game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final with Joe Maddon next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is the opening night of the 2025 Stanley Cup Final and a rematch of the 2024 Cup Final as well. A wild series that saw the entirety of its distance despite the Panthers taking a 3-0 series advantage to begin. How much will the series resemble what we saw a season ago with the reigning champs, the Panthers, continuing that title defense in Edmonton, looking to bring Lord Stanley's Cup back to the Great White North, which is where we find Joe Maddon on this Wednesday morning ahead of game number 1 tonight in Edmonton between the Oilers and the Panthers. Joe, we appreciate the time as always. We are very much looking forward to your breakdown for game number 1 and the entirety of the Stanley Cup Final on this Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely excited to be here. Thanks for having me, you guys. Game number 1, it feels like it's taken forever for us to get here at this point, but can hardly wait for that puck to drop tonight. And you know these players are thinking the same.
Joe, nearly a week off for both of these teams that wrapped up their conference championship, Edmonton in the West over Dallas in only 5 games, Florida in the Eastern Conference once again in only 5 games against the Carolina Hurricanes. So as we look at the long wait for game number 1 tonight, one of the key differences this time around in 2025 of our Cup Final rematch. It's not down in Sunrise for the opening game. It's up in Edmonton. The Oilers have home ice advantage, and that money line number at this moment, -125, the updated price on the FanDuel Sportsbook. 6.5 is the total for game number one. How does the 2025 Stanley Cup Final and the rematch between the Panthers and the Oilers begin tonight in Edmonton?
You know, the book's giving a lot of respect here to the Edmonton Oilers as the home favorite, but the Florida Panthers have been fantastic out there on the road this season. They're going to have to overcome, Edmonton will have to overcome losing this first game. They cannot let the series start the way it did in that last game. And I do think because of that, Edmonton knows they have to come out so strong in this one. They have to give Stuart Skinner that protection, because we know Skinner has always been the talk of the Edmonton Oilers as the weakness out there. Now, Edmonton really does have a chip on their shoulder about their defense, and they've been committed to playing strong defensive hockey. I do think Edmonton here in game one is going to play that defensive hockey, but we're going to see the Florida Panthers really push them. We normally see these game ones of a series, that testing out part in that first period, and then once those goals start, these two teams will answer back and forth. I am expecting the Edmonton Oilers to have a night tonight. They want to get off to that hot start, and I expect Connor McDavid to lead this team tonight to victory. I'm going to take the Edmonton Oilers team total over 3.5. I'm expecting them to get 4 goals on Bobrovsky. Now, we know Bobrovsky has been absolutely elite in the playoffs, but he did have a couple of games where he allowed that puck to find the back of his net. And I look at the forward units and the depth here of the Edmonton Oilers. They have to win this game tonight for their confidence, and I think they do so by getting 4 goals. Now, it's probably going to be a sweat. We're probably going to have to count on that empty netter. So if you don't want to take the over 3.5, I'm going to look for them also to have a hot first period. The puck line in the first period for the Edmonton Oilers, laying a half a goal coming in at +166, you guys.
I'll tell you what's interesting about this, too, is you see a slight drop there in the game one. That 132's 130 price is now down to -125. Still is a favorite, though, to Edmonton, so maybe a little bit more money coming in on Florida. And it is important in the closeness of this series. You want to hold the home ice advantage, which first two games here in Edmonton would be monstrous for the Oilers to try to win a Stanley Cup. If we do look at the prop perspective in this game, you take a look at Matthew Tkachuk, you know, Barkov on one side, McDavid and Draisaitl on the other. Are there any go-to players that you're looking tonight here, Joe, that you want to back in the props market?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think this Stanley Cup is going to be about the battle of Matthew Tkachuk versus Connor McDavid. I'll be riding on both of them for the whole series long for their goals, for their props. But I do think here in game one, Connor McDavid is the player you definitely want to circle to come out and be able to find the back of the net. Now, if you just take him for the point, it's way too juicy. But if 2+ points in this matchup, if the Edmonton Oilers are going to get 4 goals, you would expect Connor McDavid to be part of at least 2 of them. You could also look at his line mates out here. Corey Perry moved up to that top line, and Ryan Nugent Hopkins. They're going to give you better value out there than just taking Connor McDavid straight up. But I do think Connor McDavid is who you want to circle for the Edmonton Oilers for that anytime goal. And when we move to the Florida Panthers, I really like what all of these lines are doing. You look at the depth of the Florida Panthers out there. They're rolling out hot lines, lines that can score. But I do think Matthew Tkachuk is who you want to look at here in game one. I'm expecting Matthew Tkachuk to be able to light the lamp. You look at him in the playoffs so far, he's only been able to get 5 goals, 11 assists for those 16 points. But I think another goal is coming tonight. But again, the depth of the Florida Panthers is elite. You can also look at Bobrovsky here. Well, I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to get all of those shots on goal. I'm looking for Bobrovsky to face, you know, 40 shots. I don't expect him to allow a whole bunch in. His number coming in at 24.5. While the Florida Panthers like to lock down in front of him, Edmonton's forward units are going to be peppering him tonight. So I'd look at Bobrovsky over his safe shots.
Playoff Bob has been key for the Panthers to defend that Stanley Cup throughout this postseason run. But Joe, ultimately, we talk now about who is going to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup at the end of this series. You think Edmonton gets the job done on home ice tonight? That would differ from the start of last year's Cup Final. Ultimately, when it comes down to crowning a Stanley Cup champion, do you think the result will also differ from what we saw a season ago?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I look at the Edmonton Oilers this season, and if Skinner can hold between the pipes, we're going to see the Edmonton Oilers be able to hoist that cup. I've got Edmonton taking it all the way in seven. That's coming in at plus 425. We've actually seen positive numbers in this. It was plus 400 a week ago as money starts to come in on the Florida Panthers. But I do think this Edmonton team is just playing at a different level this season. I think they're hungrier. They're looking for that revenge. And as long as Connor McDavid can lead them there, I think the Edmonton Oilers will get the hoist of the cup this year.
It would be Canada's first cup in more than three decades since 1993, and the first in a stellar career for Connor McDavid individually. Would now add the biggest prize on the ice if Edmonton can get it done. Joe Maddon, we appreciate the time. Thank you for your breakdown, and enjoy game number one of the Stanley Cup final tonight.
Let's go. You could also look at Connor McDavid, 14 plus points in the series, plus 610.
Oh, a little gift as she goes. DRS, we'll see you later in two. More of the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out our 3 hours together here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, I am Ben Stevens. Maybe you are looking at the Stanley Cup final starting tonight, or the NBA finals that begins tomorrow in Oklahoma City between the Thunder and the Pacers. And maybe you don't think either of these two events are going to be all that exciting, although in the Cup final rematch, we do expect it to see the distance. Well, may I add something else to your sports docket here in early June that I can guarantee you will have late game drama and heroics and theatrics collegiately? That would be the NCAA baseball tournament after a regional weekend in the round of 64 and beyond. That was probably the best regional weekend we have seen in recent memory. We saw so many upsets. We saw four seeds have life and pull off upsets against the one seed in the hosting regional national seed in their regional that we had not in a very long time. Four seeds won on the opening day, the most since 2008. The SEC set a record 13 schools into the NCAA baseball tournament. Only four will march on to the second weekend in a super regional berth, despite the fact the Southeastern Conference had also a record eight teams hosting a regional, including the top two teams in the bracket, the number one national seed in Vanderbilt, the number two national seed in Texas, the number one national seed Vandy, making history, but not with the distinction that you would care to have your name in that record book. The Commodores becoming the first ever number one national seed, failing to even make it to the regional final as they were ousted by the four seed in the national region, that being Wright State. Speaking of four seeds, Murray State, the Racers, the champions of the Missouri Valley Conference, have marched on to a super regional for the first time in baseball program history. It is our second consecutive year we have seen a four seed out of the MVC reach the super regionals, Murray State becoming the 10th ever four seed since this format began in 1999, reached the second weekend and that super regional. Now, you might not see Murray State with any of the 10 best prices of our 16 teams remaining into the super regional weekend to make it to the College World Series in Omaha, or heck, even win a national championship. Here are the odds, however, after regional weekend one into super regional weekend two. And at the top of the board, you might see me say, Ben, you just talked about how the SEC had a failure of a weekend, and yet the three best prices and four of the five shortest numbers hail from this conference? Yeah, the SEC is still a powerhouse. In fact, the SEC has won four consecutive national championships in college baseball. Maybe even five straight, if memory serves. They are still the league overall to beat, and they still have four of the 16 teams marching on to a super regional weekend. LSU, the title favorites as of this moment, they will host the super regional at the box in Baton Rouge. The reigning national champs, Tennessee, a great super regional matchup. They will head to Fayetteville to take on Arkansas. By the way, the Hogs are my pick to win the College World Series, sweeping as the number three national seed. Their regional in Fayetteville this past weekend. Auburn also sweeping their regional, a 12-1 price on the Tigers. Really good opening weekend of the NCAA baseball tournament for the ACC. Five teams, more than that of the SEC, advancing to the super regional. And UNC is a very scary side. Keep an eye on Oregon State, who had to rally out of the loser's bracket in Corvallis to get to a super regional. The Beavs looking pretty good. UCLA will host at a 20-1 number out in Los Angeles this super regional weekend. Game number one of the softball tournament in the NCAA level of the World Series, the College World Series championship set in the women's CWS tonight in Oklahoma City between two very familiar foes who now no longer play in the same league. It is Texas and Texas Tech squaring off tonight in OKC in game number one of the WCWS final with the Longhorns an ever so slight favorite. But it's been a historic year for the Red Raiders. Their first ever Big 12 regular in tournament title. Their first ever time hosting a regional. Their first ever time winning a regional. Their first ever appearance in the Women's College World Series. And now in their debut year in OKC, their first ever berth in the WCSW final. We'll have plenty more collegiately later this week. The early line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern.